First off, we'd like to excuse Commissioner Rawhauser. He has a speaking assignment for Veterans Day in Upton, Wyoming at the school, or high school there. So Commissioner Rawhauser is excused. Gentlemen, have you had the opportunity to review the minutes?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I make the motion we accept the minutes as presented.
I'll second.
Has been moved and seconded that we accept the minutes as presented from the last meeting. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Right. There was a clarification. Sorry.
I'm sorry. I didn't
I'm
hear
sure
an A.
Sure it's a typo, but I'm not in the first paragraph.
Okay. You're not in the first paragraph? Are you supposed to be?
Well, I was here.
Okay. Oh, you're not.
That's because you weren't here last year.
That's what I figured. You know, I finally caught it. It's probably been that way for 2 years. I just caught it.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, we'll make sure you're here.
Good.
It was a copy and paste thing.
It was a...
So,
yeah,
yes,
good deal.
My vote is aye with that exception.
Okay, Billy, let's go to work. I don't think we need the microphones, but nobody's here
yeah.
to listen.
I'll give you a rundown kind of what we've been up to, what we've been plowing, sanding a little bit, just when it gets icy. Some areas, the mountain areas have been a little worth plowing. Still doing a lot of dirt work. Blading, we're still trying to blade. Starting to get about 6 inches of frost, so we're just hitting the real bad spots now. Going through the old ryegrass road, getting it. We blade it once a year, so trying to finish up on it. Working on North Piney, put in a couple new guards. Been hauling gravel down on like that last 3 miles. Just put in some culverts, just trying to get it in better shape. Just got done blading Jack Creek and Dale, upper Hoback, got all that. Still working. Should have, hopefully, next week, all the piping to do that, redo the Jack Creek drainage system. I'm hoping to get that done this fall still. Finished up this week, crushing the Beaver. We have 65,000 yards. Started.
What will you do with the crusher now?
We're going to bring it back to the shop and do a little maintenance on it.
Okay.
These guys, they have their yearly MSHA stuff, so that'll take a couple weeks, get them all up to every year. We got to get them, they got to go through a little 3-day school and stuff. So they'll be doing that. We've been kind of doing it because I get everybody, so everybody can be in the pits. So we're going to do that and get it ready to go. It just depends on the snow where I take it, you know. We could use gravel and, you know, Richardson's getting down there. I could go there. It just depends on how much snow we get. The less is better.
Okay.
I got to stay in kind of this time of year in one of our sandier pits because it just plugs.
But you'll set up and crush through the winter.
That's planned. We probably have 2 weeks of maintenance, just some welding and replace curtains, and got some rib belts that we need to fix and stuff like that.
Okay.
That Beaver pit, you know, it's really hard rock and stuff, so it kind of takes a little damage, you know.
Yeah.
But I was really impressed. I mean, with all the fire and being in and out and everything, we met our goal. So
cool.
That was good.
Yeah.
I've been finally, it's been a long year, but we finally, next week, I'll sign all the BLM for our BLM pits. Been working with Reed Odd with that back and forth, and it's taken a year to get them done, but it's kind of a good deal because we got them for 10 years now, where we, it was a year, and then we went to three, but now we're at 10. So next week we're supposed to sign everything and we'll be good. So it's been a long road.
Mr. Chairman,
go ahead.
Not to interrupt, Billy, but I was informed this morning at breakfast by BLM that Rock Springs District Office is considering some kind of bond fee for BLM pits, for gravel pits. They have no idea what they're really looking at. It was just kind of a heads up that it's being talked about.
I know Reed has mentioned that a little bit, but he was exactly what he told me too. He didn't really know what they were planning.
Gotcha. So they're just discussing that right now, Joel, is that right?
Yeah, I'm not even sure if it's if they really formally started discussion, but I guess the reason I bring it up now is if you have any particular input, well, let me know and I'll relay that, because we will, if we have concerns about it, I would hope we would have an opportunity to bring it up and discuss it.
Well, like with Reed, he says, you know, we keep ours really, you know, good shape and stuff. He was more like some private, he was telling me that they just, you know, there's stuff buried in them and stuff like that. So that was, but he didn't, you know, he said they were thinking about it, but he didn't know if county would be exempt or all this stuff.
Yeah, you know, I still don't know any of that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah.
Okay.
He knows his cases. I was going to say, when he knows a big pile of tires.
Yeah. The state off Cottonwood there, where they gave us the rotomill, we got it all laid out and where it was at reclaimed, so we got that done. I went up to that Kismet Tower with Shad and Dave Smith, and we looked at that. I don't know if the weather's going to let us get up there,
right,
but that'd be about a day job to level that off and clean that up. It's not that big. It'd take me longer to get stuff up there than to do the work.
Okay.
I met with Mark Noble out there on that Willow Creek Road. That turned out really good.
Good.
He didn't get the multi-plate in. He's going to do that next spring. But it turned out really nice.
Good.
Did really good job. I helped Jim out with emergency management. They had a bunch of wattles come in, them straw tubes, and we got them up to Hoback Ranches, and I got them on a trailer up there, and they should be done with that on Saturday.
Cool.
Other than that, that's about all we're doing at the county. On the bridge.
Excellent. Mark?
The only thing I have, I passed out to update this priorities for last month for Rock.
Tom, what's Wapika using theirs for?
River.
River. So river bank stabilization, yes. Is that what it is?
Okay.
I still see trucks of rock going through town.
Oh, it's been crazy, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. All righty. Excellent.
And they're pretty well, it won't be much longer, and everything off the BLM section will be done.
Really?
Yeah.
Good. So maybe by spring?
Yeah, I think as soon as we get the ability to go after the beginning winter range,
It'll
all be gone, I would guess.
Good. Maybe we'll be in place to start working on the course after that.
That'd be swell.
That'd be nice. Yeah. Okay. Skyler?
Do you guys want to talk about the Bonrat Fire Hall?
Do we want to, or do we have to?
Well, you can do whatever you want, as far as I'm concerned.
Can I?
Yeah. Yeah.
8 years and I finally figured that out. No, let's go ahead.
Well, you'd ask me to look into it.
Yes, please. Fill us in.
So I did call. It turned out, strangely, Pat Factor is a Forest Service surveyor over in Afton. And you wouldn't think that she would have anything to do with stuff over here, but I like Pat and talk to her a lot, and she comes to our chapter meetings. But as it turns out, she would be the one that would actually be involved with this. One little fly in the ointment is she retired this summer.
Of course she did.
And so they are looking for a replacement for her. And they don't want to do anything until the replacement shows up. Which seems kind of funny. But we did have a nice chat about what the procedures would be. And it was kind of interesting. Where's Matt?
On speaking assignment. Special.
Speaking
special
assignment?
Special assignment.
Okay. Veterans Day speech. Here.
So, it's under the Townsite Act, not the Small Tracts Act. And I kind of looked that up last night, and yep, there is such a thing. And it can be up to 640 acres, and it has to be for the public good for our local government entity, which, of course, would work here, because the county would be doing it. They would prefer that they have one applicant, which would be the county, and then the county would acquire title to it, and then we could chunk off whatever we want to the
church.
Yes. Okay. You'd have to get a NEPA study. She didn't think it would be extremely expensive. It's not a very big area. But then she went on to say the church is a national historical site, and so SHPA would probably have to come in. I guess they are, the Forest Service is bound to extra detail that they have to do on any historical site. Gotcha. So that makes it a little harder. You'd have to get an appraisal, which the county pays for. You have to pay fair market value. I went over and asked Janice what the value of that land would be, and she was reluctant to give me an answer, but she did point out that several other similarly sized parcels in there had a $70,000, $80,000 land value. So just for a wild ballpark number, you got one there just to think about, I guess. So it wouldn't be without expense is what
I'm saying. So it is a possibility. But it wouldn't be like we do with the BLM for lands for landfill and things like that. It isn't a grant. It is a purchase.
It is. At least the way it's explained to me. Yes.
Okay. Interesting.
So she's going to
say. What's that?
Public Purposes Act.
Public Purposes Act, right. So there's no such thing with the Forest Service?
Well,
I think there is, but maybe it. Maybe they don't think that applies to this situation.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah. She seems pretty sure of herself.
Okay. Well, she would probably know.
Yeah. She said they just finished one up and down Utah that was similar, although a little bit bigger. But.
Okay. Yeah.
Anyway, so we had this. And to finish off, one other thing. So there's a lease on that 1 acre, roughly 1 acre parcel, to the Forest Service. It expires in 2025, but looking at it more closely, you can renew it as long as you give them 6 months' notice. So I'm sure Pat Factor would not like to
hear
that.
How long was that lease, do you remember?
40 years? 50?
Yeah, they're like 40, 50 years.
So would the lease to go forward would be another 40, 50-year lease?
Well, we could assume that, but I don't know that I would want to bet a lot of money on that, especially if they're motivated to get the county to
buy it,
yeah.
But are they motivated, or is it
just Pat?
No, is the Forest Service motivated for us to buy the property, or is it
as much as
just us?
The church.
Pat's been on me for several years. She came over and did some work around Fremont Lake and stuff, and she says, "When are you guys going to take care of that stuff up by it?" Okay. Is it a problem? Well, it'd just be good if you guys owned it instead of leasing it. Well, I'll talk to them. So,
okay.
What's the? Do you know what the church? How they feel about?
I talked to Scott because this came on. Scott Sherwell was the one that asked Shad to go out with him and take a look at it. And I talked to Scott over at the surveyor's technical session over in Casper last week. And they just want to build another building out there. The church does, and so. Since there's no legal description on the 1 acre parcels, it's never been surveyed, he wants everybody to agree on where a good division line would be between the county shop, the fire hall, and the church. And you can't see it very good in this black and white, but he's got some lines drawn.
I see that.
So I don't see anything nefarious going on with the whole deal. I think that I don't see why that couldn't be done. Go out and have a common agreement on where the line ought to be. What do you think?
Basically, what you're telling us though, that they don't want to move forward until they have somebody else in that position.
That's what she said. Yeah, because I talked to her on 22nd of last month.
Okay.
I says, can you send me the paperwork? She says, yeah. I didn't see anything. Saw her over at the meeting. I said, where's the paperwork? Oh, they want to wait until I'm replaced to send that to you.
Okay.
I said, all right.
All right. Well, we've got the information.
It.
Yeah. We don't have to make a decision.
If placed in somebody in that position, we can bring it up again, I guess.
Right. And do you want to...
We have a lease till 2025.
Yeah, we have time.
Do you want to make a decision on whether that would be a good idea to go out and agree to a common line or not?
You know, I think maybe we're cart before the horse on that.
I have to talk to the church and see, number one, would they even prefer to own it over leasing it?
That's an idea, too, yeah.
And if we have to buy the whole thing, then are they going to reimburse us for their piece?
Yeah, that's all I did was
an
acre.
How might that work?
That would, that's our theory. It might not be their theory.
It might not be.
Yeah.
You're saying that Scott drew these temporary or
he just worked out something, yeah. There's a lot of wetlands out there, as you know. So the backside's a little bit iffy on where
this
it would go.
Fire.
Yeah.
Yeah, the backside just backs up to more forest land, right?
It is.
Swamp way. Yeah, oh, yeah. Ownership-wise.
Ownership.
Yeah, that's, I know. That's a whole section.
You know what I'm saying. First favors.
Well, we have time to think about that then. Keep us posted when they get somebody else in place.
Okay.
And then maybe we can revisit the discussion.
Okay.
You're just stalling.
I am.
Preferably after
the next year. That'd be a good idea.
Pat put it off till after the first year anyway.
As a matter of fact, let's put the rest of the agenda off till the first year.
But you're the baby, you know.
All right. I did hear that they were thinking next spring that they would like build. So, yeah.
All right. Thanks, Skyler.
Sure.
Appreciate that.
You bet.
Anything else on Road and Bridge, gentlemen?
Oh, I did get a copy of the plat and I think the resolution from Mike on Skyline Drive Road, the final document for that.
Okay.
So that should be coming up.
Good.
Excellent.
All right. Very good. Let's move into waste management.
All righty. Do you mind if I lose, Bill?
Thank you. Yeah. Still hot and heavy with Hoback branches coming in. As of yesterday, we're up to 38 houses. Right at 2,500 ton, about 200 loads have come in.
Wow.
It slowed down a lot. We were getting 20 to 25 loads a day. We're down about half that.
Wow. Yeah.
Some days there's more, but they're still coming in. I was talking with Eric. Our C&D pit is, it's filling it up pretty good, he's going to come survey a little bit so we start doing another layer.
Okay.
Is it mostly concrete? Concrete and metal, but we've been sorting all the metal, hauling all the metal away.
So even burned metal, can that be recycled?
Yeah.
It can?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's a good thing. Lots of concrete, brick, debris, stuff like that, but not a lot of wood. Most of the wood, pretty charred. So, but that's still going hot and heavy. We started on our fourth layer on the MSW on the line pit, so we've been baling, getting it all ready to take across. Other than that, it's, we've done some, kind of got our slopes back to where they need to be, getting our cover, doing a lot of drainage,
work and stuff, so we don't have no water sitting and everything, but it's looking good. It's
good.
Other than that, no issues.
Beauty.
Did our another round of all our well testing, and we've been doing that all summer and stuff. They were up last week, and we did the old Daniel yard, the old Boulder dump, and then the Pinedale dump up here, and then of course down to Marmonton. So they got done with that last week. Other than that, that's down in Piney. That's about up at the transfer station. We've done some work. Took out the guards on the road, put in detours. The trucks just been. We've put two sets of guards in there in the last 3 years. So we just did some detours, and since it's only like 6 weeks out of the year, that turned out really good. Been doing some work up in the transfer station there, getting drainage fit. They get a lot of problems. Ryan has a lot of problems getting them containers in and out. So we did some work up there, got some drainage. I think it's going to help out a lot. Kind of working on a plan. That facility's really busy. And yeah. Right now he's got four spots where he puts containers where people dump, and that's about half what they need. I mean, we're pulling them out with the loaders, pulling them in and everything. So I'm kind of doing a long-term, putting together, maybe, you know, trying to expand. That facility's way busy.
Is there enough property there for the expansion?
There's plenty. There's plenty. Right. We'd have to do some dirt work, but... You know, because you got that hill there, but it would actually work because we could level and do stuff. I'd like to try to combine, you know, I'd always keep a drop for the recycling here, but I'd like to get the balers up there where we did the cardboard has gone nuts. I mean, just in the last year, it's doubled.
Really?
That's basically pays for our recycling cardboard right now, so the money. It would be, right now, I'm going to have to get Ryan to haul it more often if we could at least bale it up there, and that'd save a lot of, it actually save money because right now we're trucking it so much. But I'm working on that. When I get further, I'll let you show you guys. That was just something to think about in the future.
Are they baling it here? Still right here,
yes. Yeah. It's just, I mean, it's coming in, you know, lots and lots. So. But, if we're going to add on up there, I'd like to just get it all up there, and we'd still have a drop here. But then I think, you know, we could, and I was talking with whoever gets the, you know, Ryan right now has got the lease, but he would be willing to do that part of it too, so that would help. His stuff I'm working on, I'll bring to you later.
Okay.
Other than that, that's it for waste management.
HDR is still working on those questions DEQ has, and I talked to David Rear, sent him an email yesterday, and he doesn't want it till the first of the year anyway, so.
Are you related?
Rock on.
So we'll work our way through it and get it to him the first of the year, and hopefully we get that permit modification in hand next spring.
Cool. Awesome. Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate it. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Sheriff Lear. We've got time to squeeze you guys in early if you'd like. We can get you guys back to work.
Sounds good. Thanks, Mark. Thank you.
So I'll
go through department activities first, and I'll get the Lieutenant Dunning with the jail. So, busy again with search and rescue this past week. So, one of our bus drivers didn't show up for work and caused some concern. And we found out that he had gone up to a hunting area to scout and ended up getting stuck up there. Spent a couple days in his truck. And
holy cow.
Yeah, but he was fine. Got him back home safe. And, Could have ended a lot worse.
We were really
lucky.
So, he was... prepared then. So,
he was. A longtime resident. Had the clothing, had the necessities
food.
For at least a couple days.
Yeah.
But
beautiful.
Yeah. So
that's good to hear.
Yeah, wish he would have let somebody know where he was going.
That would have been the only other thing. Yeah, okay.
Other than that, we'll meet again at 1. The updates on folks, emergency management and some of the grant proposals. I'll just have Jim go over that later this afternoon. Other than that, Halloween went really well. Talking to the town, there were some close calls with kids crossing the street, so we may try to double our efforts with the town next year and put more people in the crosswalks, guards. Just people getting just impatient, you know, wanting to cry, it's hard. It's hard having to wait, you know, for...
They might have been all wound up on sugar, too.
Popped up on sugar.
No, but other than that, the other events, the zombie run, the zombie dash, the haunted houses, everything else went off really well. So,
cool.
Yeah. Parade of Lights coming up for December, both Big Piney and Pinedale. So pretty uneventful, but yeah. So
good.
Steve kind of touched base with you a little bit this morning, and we just right now this is more of a concern. That we have with the what we're seeing, the pattern that we're seeing. We've had more inmates than we've had since the boom, and it's almost tripled. There's several factors, several reasons. One is the state just simply does not have the room, so we are housing individuals with felonies that have been sentenced to the state pen. But they're out of room. So what happens is they have 10 days. The state has 10 days to accept that person. If that person is not accepted in 10 days, then they have to start reimbursing the local facilities of where that person's at. So we've been housing them up to 4 to 6 months, just depending. And it'll probably just, I don't see this problem being fixed in the near future. I haven't heard anything from the state on what they're going to do with the Rollins Penitentiary, whether they're going to fix it, rebuild it, move. Don't foresee anything happening there. Steve, did you hand this out to him already? Or?
I haven't. I showed it to him.
Okay. So what this kind of goes over is projections. What we're seeing in overtime for our detention facilities, some statistics over the last few years on how many, an average number of inmates in the jail. And Steve, you can hit on some other points in there.
As I talked to you this morning, which I appreciate your time immensely, the first page kind of goes over what the facility was designed for as far as manpower positions. Main control is a 24/7 unforgiving position. It has to be manned. If somebody needs a break to go to the restroom or whatever, somebody has to fill in that spot. It can literally every second of the day somebody has to man that position. Well, we have the A and B towers. Originally were designed similar to Maine. The controls for inside the pods could only be utilized from the towers. We've upgraded the software since then, and main control can actually do that as well. So A and B tower are no longer mandatory, but it is strongly suggested that they are manned as much as possible for direct supervision of the inmates. The other position that we have is a walker. Federal guidelines mandate that the inmates be checked on in person. Meaning that a guard or correction officer has to go in and interact with them. This is for medical reasons, security reasons, help with any requests that the population has. We had a D-pod, which was a juvenile pod. We never manned that pod, just mainly because once it was finished, it was designed well. At the time it was designed, it met all the criteria. Once we finished it, the feds had changed their guidelines and we no longer were in there. So it turned into a temporary housing for juveniles until we could find a more long-term housing place. Therefore, we didn't ever fill that position. We have a booking officer, which right now is doubling with the walker. Obviously, like any hotel, you have to have that counter person that checks people in and checks people out. That we had briefly for a while. It has dissolved and gone to the walker. Originally, there was a very flexible position for the shift sergeant who was not intended to work those other positions, but we've gone ahead and migrated that in. I'm currently working with four-man positions. That is enough to do the bare minimum required of the jail for their basic needs. This does the bookings, this does the jail checks, serves the meals, all that internal stuff. The problem we're having now and what is raising our concerns is with the influx of inmate population, we are seeing a greater need to go to court. We deal with two courts mainly, district and circuit court. And each time we take an inmate to court, that takes one of these positions away. That person has to accompany that. Yesterday, prime example, we had five appearances in district court and two in circuit court. One of those happened at the same time as the other. So at one point in time yesterday, I was down two people, which took in-house manpower down to two. This becomes a concern if there is an event within the facility, be it a fight, broken pipe, inmate medical situation. There's nobody there to deal with it in an appropriate, safe manner. Second page, if you look at that, this is a set of numbers that Shannon got to me. It describes the overtime hours that the jail staff has performed for the year up through September. It does not include the hours that one of my staff members put in on the fire. You'll see the larger numbers, the 471 and the 495. Those correlate with times in which staff members attended the academy and other correction officers worked overtime to cover that deficit on the shift. Obviously, we're never going to get away from overtime hours. I would like to see it minimized. As we all know, the more we work, we suffer a burnout. And right now, a great number of my staff is experiencing that very thing. That makes it hard. Yesterday, we did a transport in which we brought back two inmates. That transport was originally scheduled for Wednesday. We had to cancel it just because we couldn't find anybody to do it. So those are some of the hurdles that we are looking at. Third page I provided is cross-sections of daily inmate population, 2004 through 2008, period of time in which we consider peak of the boom. If you notice, the highest number we had was 24.17. Obviously, we had a larger number of inmates. We also had less inmates than that, but 24 inmates on the average on a day. We thought we were busy then. The last 5 years, we did a cross-section of that. Just to show a comparison, you'll see that the numbers are very similar. We didn't quite meet the peak level of the 24, but we were still fairly busy and we had a very slow year last year. This year to date, and this is what brings the concern I have, year to date through October, we had 26 inmates on the average a day. That's an additional two inmates. It doesn't sound much, but when you're talking about a small population, the increase in trips to the clinic, courts, transports, to takes up a significant amount of man hours to deal with those. The last 6 months, you know, I cut off the first 5 months, tend to be the slowest of the year. The last 6 months, we almost reached 30 inmates on an average day. So we're almost five above what we were at the peak of the boom. And this is a daily thing. And I'm doing it with less people than we had when we were at the boom. As a mandate, the jail is responsible for the safety and security of the facility, which includes the people within and the people without, the general citizens. With the staff members I have now, the number, I feel a great concern that we are not living up to that mandate. When we drop down to two people working within the facility because people are busy, sick, whatever, we can't respond appropriately to any inmate that has a medical need or an emergency or a facility failure. One person just isn't enough. And like I say, the main control can't do anything but open doors. And
so in essence, you've doubled your guests from last year to this year.
Yes.
So we see how this goes the rest of the year between now and budget, right? Then we've got more information on that whole year. If it gets to that point where we need to add some positions here, do those positions stay? I mean, because you hire them, you train them, and then, but then if it drops back down to 13 again, what do we do?
Well, that's a good question. You know, there's going to be times when staff members are sitting on their hands. We cannot predict the future.
Yeah.
I am fearful that next summer is going to be similar to what we're experiencing now.
Sure.
And we've got good people, and I don't want to lose them because they're burned out.
Yeah, I understand that perfectly.
We can accommodate requests of the county, the concerns of the citizens, your concerns. I would like positions, and if we have to make an agreement where we don't fill those positions during the slow years, then we make that agreement. I would like to keep it budgeted for, you know, I'll say it, selfish reasons. When we hire somebody for the jail or even for a patrol position, we have a 2 to 3 month hiring process. There's a 3 month training process. For detention, there's an additional 2 months in which they have to attend the academy. So just to fill one position, we are looking at an 8 month investment.
Yeah.
That's a huge monetary investment by the county, and it's a huge time consuming investment by my staff.
Yeah. And because you do that, you want to keep them.
We want to keep them.
That if the population drops and there's nothing to do, you still want to keep them.
Keep them, right, because it is such a tedious thing to go about. The one reason why I would like to keep those positions, even if we have to agree not to fill them without permission, is this process right now.
Yeah, I understand.
You know, this adds months, weeks, whatever.
Yeah.
Just to get approval to have the position.
Right.
Right now, I, in all honesty, I need people right now.
Yeah. And you're 8 months out of getting them.
Yeah, and I'm 8 months ahead. Out.
So just looking at their overtime, 3,028, took that times 25, I'm guessing is the average salary. That comes to a person's salary.
To an extra position.
Yeah, an extra position currently right now. Is that in the budget? I mean, I'm sure you've budgeted for overtime.
So how staffed are you right now? Are you fully staffed?
Right now I'm fully staffed on paper. I have three people out on medical. I have one individual who had surgery this past week, one who had a ruptured appendix who's going to be out who knows long. You know, not months, but probably a good month and a half. And we are regaining the third person who had a hunting accident and injured his foot. But he's unreliable at this time. So although we on paper we're fully staffed, technically I'm down
people
three.
People working. You don't have people working. Yeah. Is there, and this is a crazy question, is there an opportunity to hire contract people? Is there anybody out there that does that kind of business that
are
you could...
Are there floating jailers?
Yeah, is there...
I've never come across that. The closest we come to, and we're actually doing it with one of our inmates, is we can contract with other agencies to house for us.
Outsource.
But that...
That's expensive.
Yeah,
I understand that.
It's cheaper for us to keep.
Yeah, that's pricey.
Yeah.
Commissioner Ballard.
So, of these 26 average daily, how many do you have a breakdown? How many of those are we doing for the state, and how many are our own local?
At this point in time, we have two inmates that were sentenced yesterday in district court to go to the state, so they are ours for 10 more days. I have nobody that is on the state dime.
We have one that's going to federal, the federal prison, but he has been here for 4 months already.
4 or 5 months.
And his charges here won't even happen until February.
Yeah.
So there's a good chance we'll have him for a year before he even...
So we're not getting reimbursed?
We're not getting reimbursed.
Right now for anybody?
Do we have anybody on split sentence?
No.
One of the things the state does is what we call split sentence. And it's a decision made between the county attorney's office and the judge and defense attorneys. And they'll ask for a split sentence. What that is essentially the individual is sentenced to prison, but the judge says you can serve your time in jail. The sheriff has to approve of it. We're seeing more and more of that. Right now we don't have
room
any.
At the
right.
Pay.
Right.
Okay, I got you.
But again, that's something we get reimbursed for if there is money available.
Sure.
If they run out of money, then it's on us.
And we're not fully reimbursed. They have a set rate in which they pay.
Right.
So if it costs us...
Something to think about between now and budget season is perhaps the possibility of adding those positions, but then having an agreement between your outfit and our outfit that if the inmates drop, you can also drop the positions.
Mm-hmm.
I know you spend 8 months investing in training them.
Well, another of the problems that you have also is you don't have any turnover. I mean, it isn't like you can take care of it through attrition. You don't have people leaving. Really?
Not right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's the employee population is pretty stable.
Right.
So the dealing with the up and down thing, so the natural idea would be is like, okay, well, we don't have as many prisoners now, so... when somebody leaves, then we just won't fill that position,
right,
or whatever. Well, that's really not an option.
We're kind of behind when we do that because,
yeah,
you know, we lose the position to attrition because at that time we don't need them. But then when we need them, we're 8 months out, so we're always behind.
But is there, and I don't mean this to be a crappy question to ask, but
no such thing.
Scheduling is there some magic we need to do with scheduling to say, okay, we need this many guys on the floor, but we also know we're going to have this many guys that are going to be at training that could, you know, to take care of that other stuff, the vacation guys and the
right.
sick leave guys and those things that really aren't keeping you fully staffed in the facility.
Creates
some more. Because that's where your overtime's coming
right.
from. And there's a point in time with the overtime that it's like, this is crazy, we need to add some full-time staff.
Right.
And that's the discussion today. But have we got the staffing, have we been thoughtful about the staffing as it is?
We actually
get all that
are.
Stuff covered, I guess.
I've actually got two positions that work on what we call the warrant team. Those positions... part of their responsibilities is to fall into these people slots that are gone. And right now, my warrant team isn't functioning as a warrant team because of the three people
yeah.
I've got out. They've already fallen into their work slots. I've had Monina from Court Security come over and work shifts. I myself have worked shifts.
you know, we're pulling right now from all directions.
Yeah.
And we've even offered up our deputies that have come from the jail that are dual certified. Right. If they want to work overtime in the jail, that they can.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
One
that
of the things.
That was going to be one of my other questions. Is there any way cut those loose from here? Patrol to help out here.
Sure, we, and again, I talked to Tom a little about this. We run into our contract agreements. We have to provide to the towns as part of our contractual agreement.
Right.
20 hours a day, that's our minimum requirement. If we pull one from the road right now, we won't have a deputy either county or
town.
That
might be part of our discussion with the towns.
Right.
Which we were going to have anyway.
Yeah, we were going to have that last.
We're going to have that discussion anyway, and that might be part of it. The fact that the towns might get less coverage.
Either that or pay for more.
Right. I can tell you right now, if it was decided today to grant me three positions, it'll be a year and a half, 2 years before I feel
like. Right. So this is something that we've got to hammer out between now and budget season. That's what we need to do.
Go ahead. Yeah, I was talking to Tom, made a really good point earlier. We couldn't do three positions right now.
Right.
Maybe do this as a step.
Right.
If we in one position right now, start the process. If we continue to see the rise in the numbers that we're seeing, if we start to see a plateau,
right,
then we can let's reassess and see where we're at in a quarter from now, four months from now.
And that's perfectly understandable, and I would agree to that. Other than the fact that we're working under a budget,
yes,
so that one position probably doesn't fall into that budget now.
Correct. Yep.
This is for my own clarification. Even though we're paying, you budgeted overtime.
Right.
Could that one position free up that overtime?
But they'll still be overtime.
They'll still be overtime, and you're not paying benefits.
That's the problem.
That's what I'm asking.
And the other thing is the overtime pays the wages, but it isn't going to pay all the benefits
right.
that go with that. There's only so many benefit positions
right.
budgeted for the entire county.
Right.
So once we tip over that, then that's not only the salary money, we got to have another 30% to take the benefits.
Well, that's
too.
It.
Right.
So if we can somehow make it through the rest of this budget season and then negotiate on what we need going forward, then we'll also have the numbers for the fiscal year.
Mm-hmm.
How many guests you had for that whole fiscal year.
Sure.
I think that's kind of the direction we need to go, gentlemen. I'm open to suggestions if you have any thoughts contrary.
It sounds like that's the only one we can do with the way the budget's set, unless we amend the budget.
Yeah, the only other way is to amend the budget.
So, Mr. Chairman, one more question. If you started today, it would be several months before you would have applications and interview and get somebody hired.
Sure. We'd be looking at the end of next year before we'd actually have somebody filling that spot.
Yeah.
So
in a perfect situation, if all the stars aligned and everything worked perfect, we could get a lateral position from another agency.
Have somebody trained already and certified.
Already trained. We'd have a modified FTO program instead of 12 weeks. We could do a month,
So how fast
out.
Would that be then?
We probably would be looking at
6 months.
Well, with the vetting,
four to six months.
And then we're at budget.
Yeah, so we're at budget time.
So basically, what you're looking for is you're looking for the blessing to start looking.
Yes.
To fill the position. But when would it start costing us in our budget? That's what I'm getting at.
If we did a good, proper, thorough vetting process, hiring process, I think we'd be looking at 3 months before we could offer a start date. If I was given the blessing today,
but then we
the
have,
soonest would be 3 months.
Then we have to start spending money within 3 months.
Right.
So,
go ahead, Commissioner.
Just we keep looking at these a lot of hours of overtime, and we know that hiring somebody wouldn't eliminate overtime, but would surely we would be reducing the hours of overtime,
yes,
which would free up some money. It wouldn't cover benefits, but it would free up some of the money required to hire somebody, right?
Yes, that's my belief. Understand that if we did a full FTO and the academy, which is 2 months, we're looking at approximately 5 months where we're going to be paying somebody's wage that isn't effective. You know, they're not going to be able to fill in that empty spot. So that's 5 months of wages and benefits.
So you're not going to impact your overtime for 5 months anyway.
No,
five
correct.
Months. That's correct.
So when would be the next routine budget amendment, Mary?
March.
I'm planning on adjusting the budget in December before I leave, only because there's a lot of times I hold that stuff till March because I know what it is, but I want to make sure that everything is situated before I go so we get everything.
Right.
So I'm planning on doing one in December just to take care of everything we've got for the first 6 months. But another question also is what's your money look like for your, because what's your money look like for your salaries?
It's getting tight. I'm below it. I'm not as far below as I was last year.
Okay.
I don't have the numbers off the top of my head, but I believe I'm within 5% of my monthly allotment.
Okay, because we'll run reports again after this meeting.
Right.
And we can take a look at
those
numbers also to help you make a decision. I mean, it's...
That would help. Ballpark, how much money are we going to need for one position?
Yeah.
That's what we need to know.
Well, we can know that, and then we can know what kind of
and
staff
then,
we've got.
And then we'll know where we're at within your budget, and then how much would have to be filled on top of that.
And we'll continue to monitor this, too, the daily numbers.
Okay.
I was really, so Steve actually came to me back in July when we know we're high.
Yeah.
And I said, let's wait till, fall, because usually we'll
drop.
And we haven't.
Okay. All right. That sounds good.
And understand, this is people that we are housing for long term. This doesn't account for people that we bring in for a DUI or minor possession, a book and release. I mean, so right, we're high 30s, mid 40s on how many people are going through the jail daily. We get a daily report. So this is for today.
And what's capacity again?
We have 49 adult male
30,
beds that's broken into two sections. We try to house misdemeanors, nonviolent, in one pod. We house the felonies and violent offenders in another. We have a segregation for those that don't get along with anybody. And that's three beds. We have six beds for females. We just barely went below that threshold this week. For the past 6 months, I've gone up to 12 females. I've actually had to house females on the floor in the past 6 months because we just didn't have the beds. So I can house six females. I've got four beds in the juvenile section. That has been our overflow. We have used it for our medical segregation. We've used it for the females. We've used it for inmates in transit, going from one facility to another. So
another question. And this is just crazy. So you have, because one of the other impacts you have is that you've got to move these people around. They got to go to court. They got to do this or whatever. Could that be a civilian type person to do that? Could that be?
So I'll tell you.
To give you some.
Yeah. So here's our problem.
Okay.
We've had four use of force issues or use of force investigations, just taking them to and from court.
Okay.
So I don't want to be putting a civilian in that.
Sorry, dumb question.
No, position. Actually it is not. It's actually a very good question.
Because I'm starting to think how we can get somebody faster than...
Right, than having to get somebody certified.
Right.
Yeah.
And we can look at that. I mean, that's something, for your suggestion, and actually these gentlemen brought up some of the concerns. We can look at doing something that might be quicker and initially cheaper, and then migrated into a more...
You know, something I'm thinking, so district court gets civilian bailiffs. If we could get civilian bailiffs for, I'm sorry, district court, sort of circuit court, that would relieve our...
Sworn people.
Sworn people who can maybe help to help doing the transports.
Because the sworn folks that we have in the courts are by our choice, right? I mean...
By our choice. We're meaning...
We're not required to have sworn people.
Correct.
That's just the way we do it.
Homeland Security several years ago came out and strongly suggested, and I'm not sure how strong that is, but it was fairly strong, that the Sheriff's Office provide court security.
Right.
Part of that, because as you know, for years we hired retired gentlemen to be bailiffs, and there were some security issues with that, so we've gone to the sworn position. Ms. Montgomery, on the larger trials, uses civilian bailiffs quite a bit. She also uses us.
And it probably depends on what it is.
Right.
Too.
Well, let's go. Let's continue to monitor this then this month. Let's get the information on what that position would cost us, what we have available, and then we can make an educated decision.
Okay.
That sound good?
Sounds
I imagine good. This is guarded information and you want that back.
It's not. Is it public knowledge?
Is it public info?
It is.
I don't need it.
So to explain it, the dashed lines, those were book and releases. So they don't have a pod assigned to them. The only one that's outsourced right now is Mr. Manizak. He's in Lincoln County. So.
But there's no indication on these or how long they've been here.
No, we could do that to get the amount of time.
Quite a list of jail
birds. Just looking at it, the majority of these people have been here for months.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. We have a significant amount of time left.
But
we don't get the burnout factor of these current employees, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're doing that much overtime without days off.
Yeah, but we do have some information that we need before we can make an educated
decision. Oh, absolutely, and we understand. And I think we're okay.
Well, that's the best route to take if there's going to be a budget adjustment in December.
Get that information rounded up, we'll know what to do.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. I extend my invitation anytime individually you guys want to come up or collectively.
Spend the night.
Eat
lunch.
Some meals.
Yeah, serve meals.
Handmade meal.
You can, get a firsthand.
I will take you up on that.
I appreciate that.
Just a review.
Yes. I appreciate that.
It's been.
Thank you, gentlemen.
It's worth it.
Any other questions for the sheriff before he takes off?
No.
All right. I'll be back at 1.
Okay. Perfect.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. Rob, we're going to take just a quick 5-minute break. If you want us comfortable before you talk to us. So.
Because we know it's going to be a while.
Yeah. I was just noticing your clock up there has not fallen back.
No, it sure has.
That one did.
It'll be right in a year.
One way later.
Or half a year.
Let me just run down there.